We're not flipping burgers over here. We are changing lives and we're helping people. And I want to look back on my life and say, I did something. I did something to help people. And that's what we're here. That's what we're doing.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, we're stepping into a $4 billion U.S. industry that serves millions, yet flies under the radar for most investors and entrepreneurs. Joining us today is Ed Kaufman. He's the CEO of Orthotic and Prosthetic Clinics of America, a legacy medical brand with roots tracing all the way back to 1923. Ed is on a mission to scale nationally through franchising. This episode takes a new meaning in light of the Brad Smith story. I don't know if you've heard of it. Look it up. He is the first person with ALS to receive a brain implant from Neuralink, and he literally controlled his computer using only his thoughts. It is a powerful reminder of the urgent need and rapid innovation in orthotics, prosthetics, and neuro-integrated health. Their services range from orthotics and prosthetics, cranial remolding, pedorthic support, silicone restoration, and myoelectric technology. Ed's team delivers essential services with over 90% of their revenue driven by insurance reimbursements. We'll talk about the staggering need in this space. Just in amputations alone in the U.S., over 60% of them are diabetes-related. And we're going to discuss how Orthotic and Prosthetic Clinics of America is creating access, legacy, and opportunity through franchising. This is a powerful conversation. It's about growth, innovation, and restoring a patient's independence. I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's dive in. So I'm glad you're here. I find what you do incredibly unique.
Thank you so much.
I mean, seriously. Yes.
Yeah. It's such a rewarding field. It's, you know, we are changing lives and we're helping people. And, you know, I want to look back on my life and say, I did something. I did something to help people. And that's what we're doing.
I'll say it's some legacy. I mean, a lot of brands will say that, you know, we're changing lives. I'm like, it's budget blinds. Give people a good sleep. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. Explain to the audience, Ed, like who you are, what you do. Give us some background.
Sure. So my name is Ed Kaufman. I am the CEO of Orthotic Prosthetic Clinics of America. You know, I've been in orthotics and prosthetics my entire life. I'm a third generation practitioner myself. The idea of this came to me back about 10 years ago when I saw the way the industry was moving. It was mostly practitioners like myself owning their own clinics at one time. And then unfortunately, big business got involved, started buying up these smaller companies, started this huge conglomerate, and things were changing, but not for the better. You know, patients weren't getting the quality care they were once getting. It seemed to be money driven rather than patient care driven. So I decided, you know, let me take a look and see if franchising would be something that would be interested, something that could work in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so I sent out some postcards to about 50 CPOs. And I said, you know, if we were to do this, would there used to be something you're interested in, hoping to get one or two back. And I ended up getting almost 40% of them back.
Wow.
That they'd be interested. So that was my signal right there to say, okay, this is something that's viable and this could possibly work. So I started the process back in before COVID of you know, getting the FDD together, things like that. And with the intent, again, of giving the industry back to the CPOs, whether that be, you know, they own their own clinic or they get some kind of equity for years of service or whatever that might look like. That was the ultimate goal, was for that. So we started to franchise them out. We have been growing exponentially over the last 3 years. You know, every goal that we've set, we've hit. We are currently on tap. We have 15 units sold.
Nice.
And we have a few more in the pipeline right now. And things are going the way that I hoped they would. You know, patient volumes are increasing. The quality of care is increasing. Job satisfaction with our CPOs is up. So all those markers that I was looking to rectify in the marketplace is occurring. So I'm really happy. Things are moving in the right direction.
That's great. For the audience, what is CPO?
So a CPO is a certified prosthetist orthotist. That is someone that has a bachelor's degree in some allied health field. They have gone on to a master's program, a two-year master's program, and then they've completed a minimum of two-year residency. And then for us to be a qualified candidate for our organization, that's a minimum of 5 years of in-practice experience.
Okay, got it. So that answers a huge question. You know, can I, just an average person without any of these degrees in medical, can I own this franchise? The answer is I can own it, but I can't, let's say, interface with the patient. I need to hire the CPO.
So you're going to need a CPO, correct? You're going to have the CPO kind of as your practice manager, if you will. However, if you want to have patient hands-on care, you can. There is a pathway to what's called an orthotic fitter.
Okay.
Basically, you'll work underneath your CPO, doing 1,000 clinical hours, and you'll sit for a set of boards at the end of that time, and that will qualify you to be able to have hands-on patient care. So really, there are opportunities within the organization, within your clinic to really do whatever you wanted to do. As if it's marketing, we can do marketing. If you want to be hands-on with patient care, you can do that. If it's an administrative role, you can do that. If you want to be completely hands-off, that's also a possibility, provided that we have the right CPO for you that's able to do the credentialing and getting everything onboarded.
That's great. Prospective franchisees ask me all the time. It's like, you know, I want to do something that I have a background in. Obviously, the brand would never allow me to buy an urgent care center or an orthotic and prosthetic brand. It's like, no, of course they will. If you have the right attitude, if you fit their culture, you don't need the degree or the direct industry experience to buy the brand. This is a perfect example.
Absolutely. I find that I'm going to expect 99% of the franchises that we sell, they will not have orthotic prosthetic experience. And this is a very, very niche market.
Definitely.
So, a lot of them are actually coming background to finance, IT. These are just people that are looking, they have the entrepreneurial spirit, and they're looking for an opportunity that of giving back to the community in some way and be able to get fulfillment in other ways rather than just be monetary.
I agree with you.
Monetary is great as well. Don't get me wrong. The profit margins, everything are fantastic with OMP. But like you said, it's more of a holistic approach to business.
Yeah. The audience knows, I say this all the time. A lot of people come to us, not just for the money. They want to create a legacy more than just, you know, I did mortgages or what did you do? You know, I did this. They want more than that. They want to give back to society, give back to a community. Especially they get near midlife. They start reflecting on their mark and what they left on society. This is definitely one of those brands. I mean, this is a game changer. This is giving people mobility, just confidence. My God, it's crazy.
That's exactly where that's the same position I'm in right now. It's my legacy. What have I left behind? What did I do to change humanity? How did I make this world a better place before I leave? I find that we're only here for a very small amount of time, and I want to make as big of an impact as possible. And I found that this is my way of being able to do that.
That's great. Love it. Let's get into some of the services. I'm assuming that this is brick and mortar, right? We're operating out of maybe not Class A real estate. Are you more in a medical area?
Correct. We're going to be more in a medical space. So typically our clinics are going to be, you know, in medical buildings that have other specialties like vascular surgery, orthopedics, and maybe even attached to an acute care facility, that kind of thing. We are going to have some visibility from the street, but it's nothing like a retail type of location at all. Again, more of a medical clinic, doctor's office, that type of a setup.
I like it, but real estate's cheaper. How many square feet?
Yeah, square footage wise, you're looking between 1,200 and 1,700 square feet. Our average size is about 1,500.
That's perfect. Love it. So lower rent, we're away from Class A space. Many cases, the build out's already done. You're taking over a facility, what we call second generation space, from probably someone in the medical space. You've got the exam rooms, right? You have everything you need. The plumbing is in every room, all that stuff. That's cool.
That's exactly what we're doing. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Really, you're going in there, making a couple modifications as necessary for our accrediting bodies. But for the most part, it's already built out with a vanilla shell. So we really just need to go in there with our equipment and get things set up.
I love that. I love second gen space that you can realistically use maybe $20,000, $30,000 just to, you know, true it up to your brand, your look and feel the way you want it, but not the normal $150,000, $200,000 for that size space in Class A inline, you know, real estate. So love that already, where you're operating and how you're doing it. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. Let's drill down on some of these services. You do a lot, you know, and I don't want to mislead the audience. It's like, oh, they're making limbs. No, we're orthotics are huge. You just mentioned an orthotist, I think you just said, right? So someone that specializes in orthotics, you have the prosthetics. What? Give me the list of services and then we'll break down like what percentage of revenue, like where's the money being made in the business?
Sure. So our primary, obviously orthotics, prosthetics, and podorthics. So we're doing with orthotics, we're doing all types of, bracing for patients. We're pushing a product called a MyoPro right now. It's an exoskeletal for a patient that maybe has had a stroke or a cerebral vascular accident, some type of a trauma where they have loss of limb, but they still have the attached, you know, they still have their arm, but there's no mobility left. So this is actually a myoelectric exoskeleton that goes on over the arm, and it gives them the flexion extension back in the elbow, flexion extension back in the wrist, and actually gives them the ability to perform their normal ADLs of life on a daily basis without, and it gives them freedom back. So that's a great product that we're really pushing right now. As far as the prosthetics are concerned, obviously we're heavy into myoelectrics with prosthetics. We're doing all kinds of 3D printing with those. So we're scanning patients' limbs. We're one of the only national brands right now that has 3D printing in every single office, which separates us from our competition. Our Nice. Turnaround times are much better. Our quality product is better. So these are all game changers for us that we recognize the need for in the market space. So we address those needs. And then as far as podorthics, I mean, we're doing everything with, you know, toe fillers, different types of braces, anything for patients that have partial feet, things like that. So, you know, like I said, it's a very diverse, offering.
Can do you need a podorthist, or can the orthotist, can they do it all? Or do you need all these different roles now for all these different services? Or is there one licensing that can, as an umbrella for all of these services?
Yeah, your CPO, they trumps everything. The podorthics is just a small course. It's there's not a whole lot of education behind it. They're increasing the amount of requirements for education in that sector. But as far as, you know, what the need is, as long as you have a CPO on staff, they cover all, everything.
All right. That's great to know. So you could just keep offering all these different services. I like that. Were you doing silicone restoration and all that?
We certainly do. We do fingers. We do anything that's silicone related. Any kind of cosmetic. Prosthesis. Absolutely.
How about the myoelectric? Are you getting involved in that? I saw on your website what looked like a muscle signal controlled hand with that little girl. Are you into
exactly.
that?
Exactly. So. Yes, we're very much into that.
Really?
That's a huge portion of what we do here. We're doing things that have sensory, so they'll understand pressure points. We're doing things with, it's basically co-apt, where basically they are, it's learning as they're utilizing the device. It's actually using AI technology to learn recognition, pattern recognition. So when they go to make a certain movement with the arm, depending on the relationship of the wrist and the forearm in space, will actually, produce a probability of what type of a pincer grasp they're going to need to do that. So it's fantastic stuff what we're doing. It's really exciting. The next step in prosthetics is brain stem chips that'll be installed in the brain stem. So you'll be able to think it and be able to have the prosthesis move for you rather than right now being on myoelectric. So that's coming down the pike in the next 5-6 years. They're already doing testing on that, beta testing on that. So we're really excited to see what that looks like. But like I said, the market is continuing to change. And it's a booming market. I mean, it's a $4 billion market right now. And they're anticipating by 2032, that it should be an $8 billion market. So there's a huge need. Baby boomers, huge need. Unfortunately, diabetes, obesity, those things are on the rise. Cancer's on the rise, unfortunately. And all of these things directly impact the need for prosthetics and orthotics in our space.
I know. Every time people just go straight to vets, it's like, no. There's millions of people in this country that are not veterans. Nothing took their limbs off that are in need of all these services. Children being born, right? Just all sorts of things.
Congenital abnormalities. Yep.
Exactly. Did you see that Neuralink, that guy with ALS that moved mouse with his thoughts?
I'm telling you, that's what's going to be with prosthetics. They're working on it right now. It's happening. So just like a Neuralink, it'll be the same thing. You'll think it and you'll be able to move the arm that way. So we're getting there. It's happening. They're working right now with chips that are inserted in the brainstem, but the Neuralink is a very similar type of a device.
It's crazy. So the staffing, because we touched on staffing, but I want to close the loop on it. How many people do I need to operate this business? I'm crystal clear on the CPO.
Certainly. CPO, obviously, number one person. You're needed administrative assistant, someone that's going to help to facilitate the flow of the patient through the process. And then you're going to need a sales rep. And really, that's all you need to start off.
Yeah.
And that one CPO, ultimately, our goal is that they can actually handle the volume of four different offices. So the Monday, they'll go to one office, Tuesday, a different, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday, they'll use that time to either go back to one of the offices that's overly busy, or they'll use it for a documentation day, whatever that looks like for the practice themselves.
The salesperson is hitting the street. They're marketing to who? Who's the referral source?
Yeah, they're marketing primarily to vascular surgeons, orthopedics, podiatry, internal medicine. I mean, really, we have a product for just about anyone, any specialty. You know, we do a lot with oncology. We do a lot with, even with the OBGYN, we're doing things. So there's a lot of different opportunities for us. We're very diversified as far as our product offering.
What's the value prop, meaning... why go to you? Are you able to print, not carbon, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it graphite? Are you doing that type of printing?
Yeah, so we're not doing carbon printing. We're doing test socket printing at the moment. It's a thermoplastic printing. The carbon is still being pulled like normal, only because of the cost of the machine is so high. I didn't want to pass that expense on to my franchisees. Mm-hmm. But once that price point does come down or the technology catches up with things, we'll be doing that as well in our offices.
Okay, so the secret sauce is come in like a same day turnaround or within reasonable time frame.
Yeah, so give you an idea. If a patient comes in on Monday morning, what we used to do is we would take a cast of that patient. We would send that over to our fabrication lab for a Tuesday delivery. They would pour plaster into that, let that cure overnight to Wednesday. They would heat plastic. They'd take the strip the mold. They would heat plastic in an oven. They'd modify the mold and vacuum mold that plastic and ship it out for a Thursday delivery. Now we're seeing the patient Monday morning, we're scanning the limb, it is printing out in 3.5 hours, and they're able to come back in the afternoon on Monday afternoon for a fitting.
Unbelievable.
So we've shaved it down from 4 days to 4 hours. It's been fantastic.
Unbelievable. What's the cost of that printer that you're using today?
So in order to make it, number one, I had a concern about this. I want to make sure that we're always at the forefront of new technology. Things are evolving always, and I want to make sure that we always are a step ahead of things. So we have each of our units is entered into a 2-year lease contract. At the end of that lease contract, they're going to be able to get a new machine every 2 years, all new brand new software, and the cost for that per month is $1,000 per month.
Okay. Wow. That's great. We had someone on the show, just as an idea, as a franchisor, we had someone on the show, the equipment was 200 grand. The average franchisee couldn't afford the 200 grand. So exactly. The franchisor was buying them, placing them in the franchisee's location that agreed to this profit sharing relationship. And franchisees were like, give it to me. In addition to the royalty, I'm now cutting you in on whatever revenue that particular machine generated. I thought it was a pretty good idea. And it was mass adoption in the system because they weren't all cutting a check for 200K, but the franchise had a ton of money.
Yeah, for us to purchase those would actually cost more than the $24,000. So like I said, it just makes sense for us to get that new technology every single 2 years. I see us getting away from 3D printing. I see it more of a pellet printing. Right now we're using a spool of the thermoplastic spool. I see that changing over the next few years. And like I said, I just want to make sure that when that change happens, we're able to adapt to it immediately and be a step ahead of our competition.
Okay. Life expectancy of these items that we're printing, since it's not carbon, right?
Sure.
Is there a consequence to that?
So again, we're printing the test socket only. Once the test socket is fit, then that test socket is sent out to our fabrication lab where we're then making it out of carbon.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yep. So with a prosthetic patient, though, they usually will get a replacement socket annually. They'll usually need new liners. So that's what goes on the limb initially to connect the limb to the device. Mm-hmm. So those liners are replaced every 6 months. So it's an evolving door. There's constantly a need for new materials. There's constantly a need for changing of the sockets. A lot of wear and tear occurs on these products.
So it's not a one and done business model. It's not necessarily a revolving door, but there's frequency of purchase. I need to come back. I need a new socket. I need a new this.
This is a building block. So you're going to start off with one patient, basically brick by brick. You're going to build your structure that way. And these are constantly coming, like I said, they're constantly coming back in for adjustments, for follow-ups, for new sockets, for new liners. And then every 5 years, they can get a whole new prosthesis. It's a lifelong, patient.
Is that 5-year comment you made driven by the insurance industry to say we will be willing to put up more money?
Yeah, it's Medicare. Medicare guidelines, every 5 years, they can get a new prosthesis. Now, if you have a private insurance, it may be less than that. Medicaid, for an example, will replace myoelectric components at 3 years because, unfortunately, the manufacturers only give a three-year warranty on those products. So they recognize that to do a refurbish is too expensive for a lot of people to be able to afford. So we are finding that Medicaid programs, state-funded programs, are actually covering them every 3 years.
Okay, got it. We talked about all the services. Where's the money in there? Meaning, is there one service that's like 50% or no? They're equally weighted. How does it break down?
Prosthetics are it's going to be your highest margins. Your prosthetic patients and the MyoPro. The MyoPro, Medicare reimbursement on this is public knowledge, is $68,900. Our cost on that is about $30,000. So on that one device alone, you know, that's a significant profit margin right there. And like I said, with prosthetics, it's variable because it depends on the K level of the patient. So the way a patient is looked at in the eyes of the insurance is by K level, K0 through K4. K0 is someone that doesn't really qualify for prostheses. A K1 patient is someone that's going to stand, transfer, pivot, you know, whether that be to the bed, to the toilet, that kind of a thing. A K2 patient is your grandmother, grandfather, who's walking around the home with a walker. You know, maybe you have some doctor's appointments. For the most part, is in the home, though, 90% of the time. Your K3 is going to be your average ambulator, your guy that's going to, you know, go to work and have a normal daily schedule. And then your K4 is your athlete.
Okay.
So based on those parameters, you know, and have to have documentation to support that. But based on that is where you're categorized. And obviously, the higher the category level, the more advanced you can get with the technology, the more advanced you can get with the software and with the components. And so the higher the reimbursement rates.
Like a runner's blade, you see those guys that run in the Olympics, right? You're absolutely dealing with all that stuff.
Oscar Pistorius. Yeah, absolutely. We do all those things. I have a couple of guys that we're doing wind sprints in my parking lot. So, we have some very high functioning prosthetic patients. We do a lot of children, again, congenital abnormalities. So they're running around, they're jumping off of walls and breaking legs. So we are breaking feet, I should say. So, we cater to all walks of life.
Interesting. You mentioned the price, the cost of goods relative to the reimbursement rate. What does that make your average ticket size? What's the average ticket?
That's very challenging. My most expensive prosthesis that I deliver was $220,000. My least expensive is probably around $10,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so it depends on the level also of amputation level.
Yeah, you're
so
talking about the hip.
Hip disarticulation, we're talking about three joints. Above knee, we're talking two joints. And then it depends, are we doing mechanical? Are we doing myoelectric? So there's a lot of variables that are into play when it deals with the reimbursement rates.
Okay, interesting. Man, so if you just made a blanket statement, what do you think as a percentage of revenue, what do you think your cost of goods are? Is it?
Percentage of revenue, our cost of goods, 30%, 40%.
Okay, got it. Interesting. It's interesting what I'm learning, man. You know, you think just amputees need this. There's millions of people that need this. Vascular disease, like you said, trauma survivors, foot, ankle, leg conditions, neurological disorders that we were just talking about, chronic pain. I've had family members remove toes because of diabetes. You know, so you're acquiring your customers with your outside salesperson, marketing to all these folks. They're coming in. Is there any private pay in this? Or is it, Cliff, my business is 90% insurance reimbursement, or am I wrong?
It is 90% insurance reimbursement. There are the 10% that we do. There's some different devices out there. One's called a G4, and it's basically a stimulator that helps to promote foot dorsiplantar flexion, so movement in the ankle and the joint. So instead of needing a brace, they'll actually use this instead. Unfortunately, it's not covered by insurance, but that is a product that we do quite often. There's another product called a regrasp. It's for patients, again, talking about those patients that have the arm still attached, but yet have no mobility in it. It helps to facilitate mobility in the wrist and the fingers, but again, no reimbursable rate for that. So that is a cash pay. But like I said, 90% is reimbursable. It's reimbursement. For insurance.
Unbelievable. How about the VA? Any relationships? Like, yeah, we're associated with these organizations.
Absolutely. We do a lot with the VA. They're broken down in different, what's called FISNs. So they're broken down in different subsections. But we are already in four of the five FISNs. So we're very engrossed in VA, in the VA system. We just actually acquired two national workman's compensation contracts. So every one of our new franchisees will automatically be grandfathered into that, which is fantastic for us. We're really setting ourselves apart from our competitors in a lot of different ways.
Interesting. Who are those competitors? I have this brand Hanger claiming, you could fact check this on live. Is Hanger really the largest with a 20% market share?
They are. They're the largest right now. Okay. They have about 900 offices nationwide. They are I love Hanger. My goal would be to put an office next to every single one of them. They are very good at getting patients, but not very good at keeping them.
Okay.
The quality of service, the CPOs are not vested in any way. So the quality of product is subpar. We have a lot of those CPOs that are looking for other opportunities. So I'm getting reached out to on a daily basis for opportunities with them.
Interesting. Okay. So that's the Google of your space is Hanger. That's correct. The Starbucks of your industry is Hanger. Okay.
Exactly.
Which 20%, I mean, it's big, but compared to what I just said, these other brands, I mean, that's not that big. You could easily take market share. Is that your goal? You want to be a $1 billion brand?
That is our goal, is to bring this ultimately, to bring it public and be able to be a significant competitor, if not the number one leader in the United States for us.
Interesting. This is just for the audience. We were just talking about diabetes. There were 185, nearly 200,000 amputations last year, and 60% of them were from diabetics.
Diabetes?
Absolutely. That's just an epidemic. Crazy. I mean, stats are nuts.
Absolutely. It's a huge problem.
As Ed said, this is a $4 billion market cap. Orthotics is massive, 63% of the market. Fastest growing segment is prosthetics. The technology is really a tailwind for you. It's helping you do things faster, better, more accurate, better gait, right? Just better customer service, happier patients. It's like, man, the technology is really zeroing everything in to just get it right. Like your Insight scanners and the 3D printing and the Neuralink, all this stuff is just going to help you guys catapult this business into the future. It's really,
absolutely,
it's unbelievable, man.
I've been working in this industry like my entire life, and I've seen the shortcomings, and I've been able to think about ways that we can make things better and fix those issues.
I mean, talk about the investment now. Is this expensive? Do I have a ton of inventory and I got $1 million in all these legs and limbs and things? Tell me what's going on with the investment level and inventory control and all that.
So the investment level is between 250 and 350, somewhere in that range. And the reason for that is, honestly, we need carrying costs. It's not so much the upfront build out and things like that. It's actually the time waiting to get your Medicare, your Medicaid credentialing done. In order to have those things happen, you have to first become certified as a facility. So either ABC or BOC are accrediting bodies. So for the first 30 to 45 days, you have to have a fully functioning clinic. You have to have a CPO on staff in order to be able to pass that credentialing process. So you're already into carrying costs for that first month. Once that 45 days happens and we get the BOC ABC accreditation, now we have to go for Medicare. Medicare is another 100 days. So again, all in all, by the time we're done with this, we're looking at about 6 to 8 months of carrying costs. And I'm estimating about $15,000 per month in there. So that's where that number comes into play. Otherwise, the actual build out of it is very minimal. The total amount of material needed is about $36,000. There's a $7,000 package for technology. So we're about $42,000 investment into the actual the build out, if you will, or the materials of the clinic itself. Mm-hmm. But really the remaining comes from that waiting game.
Give me an idea. Ed, are you working leads? Like you're literally speaking to everyone who has an interest in your brand?
Currently I am. I'm working all the leads. I just hired a new fractional COO, Jerry Henley. He's going to be taking over that for me. And then I'll be doing the secondary calls for those new prospects.
The reason I asked that is I want to get a handle on, like, give me an idea of the last 5 deals that you did. Who are these people? Where did they come from? Like, what's their background?
Actually, no one has any experience in medical at all. The guys down in Florida they're both investment bankers with Citibank. The gentleman that we have in Denver, Colorado owned pizzerias. The person that we have in Atlanta, Georgia is an IT guy. So everyone comes from different walks of life.
Okay. Are the challenges what you kind of described? There's a long lead time for the registration, the certification, the approval process. Is that the biggest challenge you think in this business?
That is our biggest challenge. Once you're up and running, you're up and running, and we can get things going much faster. It's that wait time. So that's why it was so important for us to get some national contracts with workman's comp carriers. So you'll be able to see those patients day one. You'll be able to get into, we have a loophole to be able to see patients for Medicare. So you'll be able to see some Medicare recipients day one. There are some things you will be able to do, and obviously cash pay, things like that, you'll be able to do day one. But unfortunately, there is that period of time where it's a waiting period in order to be able to get a credential and everything up and running the way it needs to be.
Okay. Can you give us a handle on revenue, like corporate store revenue? Is there anything you could share with the audience regarding the potential revenue opportunity with the brand?
You know, unfortunately, I can't really comment on it because as of right now, we don't have an item 19 as of yet in our FDD. All I can tell you is that it's very profitable. I can't really comment further on that, unfortunately.
Right. And they understand. If they've listened to enough of my episodes, they understand the FTC law. So there's no item 19. Was that a choice? Like, why no item 19? What are your thoughts?
It wasn't a choice. We just hadn't had enough data initially. We're looking to revamp that for 2025. And if not for 2025, we're definitely going to have one for 2026.
Okay. How is validation then? If there's no item 19, if the prospective buyer hits the phones and starts reaching out to, as you said, New Jersey, Colorado, Georgia, what are they hearing in terms of validation?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. They can hear it. Like I said, they're more than welcome to share their numbers with those guys. And I encourage it, as a matter of fact. So when we do our initial call, we'll talk about, you know, the overview of the product itself, of the offering itself. And then we'll send them over a copy of the FDD with contact information for the franchisees. And by all means, they can ask them any financial questions they'd like.
I appreciate that. And that's my advice to everyone. This is not unusual for an emerging brand to wait for all the data to get aggregated, to wait for the neophyte franchisees to at least have a year under their belt so that the franchisor can say, okay, we have five operators over a year. They're all at break even. We now have data. We're requesting P&Ls. Now we could create a solid item 19. So I tell every client, when a brand doesn't have an item 19, does it make you pause? Yes. But you need to seek to understand why they don't have it. And we hit the phones and validate with a series of random franchisees to close the loop on due diligence. Say, okay, I called 5, 6, 7 people. They're happy. Ed's supporting them. They're definitely making money. Everyone I spoke to broke even, and so on. So that's how you handle a brand with no item 19. It doesn't mean you walk away. It means you have to do a little bit more work and dig deeper. But you want to know something, Ed? I mean, think about this. If a salesperson told me I could make $1 million, that's fantastic. However, I would rather hear that from someone that does not financially benefit from me joining their brand. I personally love validation calls with franchisees. Love them.
Absolutely.
I do.
Me too.
I get such candid feedback. I absolutely love it. Because their attitude on the phone is, I'm busy. This is taking up my time. What do you want to know? Are you happy? Are they supporting you? Are you acquiring customers? Can you find that salesman to hit the street and bring in referrals? Can you? Would you do this again? What you know today? Yes, yes. Awesome. Ed's great. We're building a brand. Best decision I ever made. So I love those types of phone calls. I get real, just candid feedback, and makes me more comfortable about doing a deal. So just that really, obviously that wasn't for you. That was for the audience and how to handle these situations. There are not a lot of brands that we've had on the show that didn't have an item 19. So I felt compelled to just mention all that. Anything proprietary, anything that's yours, patented even?
Just our software is a spinoff from a national brand of software. So we do have some modifications that had to be done to that. We are the first orthotics and prosthetic clinic to franchise. So there were a lot of hurdles that I needed to overcome, to make this all happen. So like I said, there are some things that are proprietary to us with the software.
Okay. Got it. What didn't we discuss? Any announcements, anything that you're working on? You want to use this opportunity just to announce maybe something that's been in the works for a while?
At the moment, no. I mean, like I said, we're just continuing to grow. Looks like Memphis, Tennessee is next on our radar. We have another, one of our current franchisees brought in a lifelong friend who's looking to open up a location in Orlando. So like I said, all my franchisees that we have on board are very satisfied with what's going on and the progression of things. And they're telling their friends and we're starting to grow.
What's your connection with Connecticut and Tampa? How does that work out?
Yeah. So right now I'm in Connecticut. Our primary, our training center is in Connecticut. So it's called Yale Surgical. It's been around since 1923. So it's over 100 years old, the company. And I'm just back and forth between here and Florida. We have our location down in Florida. And like I said, just a lot of back and forth travel.
Man, is this like your great grandfather's, but how did this work out?
Yeah. So third generation practitioner, 1923, like I said, it's been in my family that long. And it's been a blessing to us.
Unbelievable. They'd be proud. So you took this from one location. You took this from one, you know, family-owned business in Connecticut, I'm assuming.
Yep, correct.
And now you've scaled it. You said, did I hear you say 15?
So yeah, so I scaled it. So initially when I took over, it went from $1 million to $6 million in this one location. And that's when I decided let's franchise. Let's see what we can do with that. So I started to open up locations nationwide. I'd always been a dream of mine. I saw this as something much bigger, bigger opportunity. And I, like I said, I could not believe it had not been done in our space before. So I'm a pioneer in that regard. So it's really exciting time for all of us.
That's great, man. You're a very effective speaker. You ended up banging out an hour episode in like 40 minutes.
Wonderful.
I got to tell you, I think I have a lot of answers. I think we've educated the audience on who you are, what you do, the money piece. They could close the loop on that. We have a handle on the total investment, the staffing model, competition, market size. It's very, very interesting. I find it fascinating, actually, the business model. It's so unique. I cannot honestly say I won't have a second one on the show. Like, you're it.
I'm the guy. This is it. We're here.
I got to tell you, man, I really appreciate you taking the time out to spend it with us and share your story. It's fascinating. 1923 founded. You guys are still scaling this thing throughout the country. Yeah, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Ed. All right.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's Franocity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.